Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
What's up, everybody? Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn on New Life Live. Welcome. So glad you guys are joining us wherever you're from. Thanks for making us a part of your day. I'm here today tag teaming with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hello, Zach. Good
fresh
to be with you again.
Fresh back from the Midwest. Thank you. Fresh back from the Midwest trip where you got to see the leaves change color and soak in your fondness for the fall season in the Midwest.
Yep.
And then Chris Williams with us as well. Hi, Chris.
Yes, good to be with you guys.
I wanted to talk about something that happened the last time we were on. We had a call towards the end of the program with a woman who was calling about her adult. She's an adult. Her adult parents, of course, and just some of their drinking habits she was concerned by, and you could just hear the pain in her voice. Like, I don't want to admit that my parents are going through this, and that's hard for me. And it just kind of generated. I thought, well, next time we get together, I want to talk about this and get your thoughts. Going from childhood to young adulthood into adulthood, seeing your parents go through difficult things from the kid's perspective, and this idea of boundaries. And when we were on the call, Chris, you had made a comment that some people need to hear a boundary, some people need to feel a boundary. And I was like, a lot there, and we were running short on time, and I was like, put a pin on that because I want to come back because there's a lot of people out there that maybe are seeing – you know, we have a lot of people call in and say, oh, my kids are struggling and they're going through this, and that's certainly a challenge. But sometimes the roles are reversed, and an adult child, quote unquote, calls in on behalf of the parents and feels like, I'm the one that needs to step in here. I don't know how. Should I stay away from it? Should I engage? Mm-hmm. How have you counseled people to handle similar situations?
Well, I think most importantly is to understand the purpose of a boundary. In Proverbs, we see this verse, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Another way to say that is protect your heart and soul, because everything about you will come from that place. Mm-hmm. And so when we understand the value, our personal value, the worth of our heart, the worth of our soul, then we can understand the boundary much more clearly, because a boundary exists to protect that which is valuable, but we have to understand what is the value or what's valuable. And so in that, we can say a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. And people may honor our words, but a lot of times, unfortunately, they don't. And so what they're going to need to then honor is our actions. So our actions help people feel a boundary.
They may not honor.
They may not honor.
We are honoring.
Yes.
Our own actions.
Thank you for that distinction, right, Jill, because that's really important. Because it's about us protecting what's valuable, not about them necessarily.
Right. You're not looking for permission.
Totally.
From them.
Absolutely.
Right.
So you may not, or I may not be able to protect this boundary with my words because you're not hearing my words. Mm-hmm. But you're now going to feel my boundary because I'm going to show you my boundary with my actions. Mm-hmm. And that's the distinction.
And I think it's really important that we start with graduated steps, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't come out swinging with our biggest.
Yeah, that's really good, Joe.
Like hammer, right? Today, so many kids are like, parents do one little thing and, oh, you're not seeing the grandkids. Oh, I'm not going to come over for Christmas. That is too severe.
Well, that's not a boundary,
right?
that's a wall.
Yeah, that's a wall. Good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Just wanted to make that distinction.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, if you lead off with an ultimatum, that's just pretty hard to walk your way back. With that. But I also know, and just to be empathetic to people in this situation, but it's my mom. It's my dad. I don't care how old you get. There's still that something inside of you that says, no, you do become the child again. It's inevitable.
You do.
And so that's why that boundary.
It's hard to see them fall.
Absolutely. And so I want to come back to it just to spend a few minutes on it. But maybe that's your situation today. Maybe there's something else going on in your life. We're going to take your calls today. We got a few people waiting on the line. Again, thanks so much for joining us on New Life Live today. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. Zach Matchett here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams. You know, as a part of New Life Ministry, one of the things that we really encourage people to do is that recovery, when you get into it, it's not just for something like for other people. Recovery could be a journey that you need to begin as well. Anybody can benefit from recovery in any form of experiences. I mean, we all have struggles. There's addictions, there's depression or mental health, anxiety, relationships that are dysfunctional. And any of us would benefit from a community that's around us to help us to work through life's biggest challenges. And for some people, that's going to be a recovery group. And so I want to encourage those of you listening today, if you feel like, man, I'm walking through this situation, I don't have many people I can talk to about it, but the moment that somebody would go, you know what, I'm going through that too, you'd be like, finally, I can really kind of talk about this. That's what we're hoping at New Life to get you connected to. And so if you go to newlife.com and learn about this life recovery thing that we've got going on, I think it'd be a great next step for you, because we often say, don't struggle in isolation, don't suffer alone. Heal in community, bury each other's burdens in community, share sadness and pain in community. Don't do it alone. And again, just that recovery journey, it's not just for other people. It's for you as well. I'm saying even to myself and to all of us, amen, because I just know we can't do this on our own. So newlife.com would be a great way for you to get started on your recovery journey. We're going to get to some calls today, and so we're going to go to Scott first. Scott is listening to us on Sirius XM, and so we're going to bring him on here. Hey, Scott, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hello, first-time caller. I got a question regarding my marital relationship.
Okay.
This is how I look. You can hear me, right?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is how I look at the marital relationship, and priority-wise, and how my wife looks at it. Just to give you a little background, it's my wife's second marriage, my first. She has two kids, previous kids from her first marriage. But and I think our perspectives on the priorities of marriages are skewed or different. I just wonder what your perspective is. My perspective from a biblical aspect is your relationship with God comes first. That's first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Then your relationship with your spouse. Marriage, second and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Then your relationship with your kids and grandkids, third or fourth. And then your relationship with your job if you're working. But my wife's perspective, and she's a godly woman, don't get me wrong, and I do love her, and I knew this going into the marriage, but her perspective is, from my perception, is she would agree with this, that she... God is your first priority, your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. But then it's skewed because her relationship, the way she looks at it, and from my perspective, the way she looks at it is, then her kids and grandkids come next, then her job, she works part-time, then the marriage. So I guess my question is, am I skewed off? And don't get me wrong, I don't want to paint my wife in a bad light. That's just my perspective, you know? And
yeah.
I know... guys can't see the whole story because just, you know, first time caller.
Right.
But what is your perspective on the relationship facts of marriage and how it should be viewed from a biblical point of view?
Yeah, a couple things, Scott. So first, again, I appreciate you guiding the qualifier, your perspective, because again, mm-hmm. she's not calling in, you're not on a joint call, and so we want to be careful of
right.
not, you know, projecting what
exactly.
you think. So I'll address this.
I want to be objective.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Thank you for calling. And here's how I would address it, and I'll throw it to Chris and to Jill here. Obviously, yes, I think we're all in lockstep agreement that the most important relationship we can have is with God. I mean, God created us. We were created to be in relationship with Him, to worship Him, and that's why God sent Jesus to come to live as a man, like die for us, die for our sins, to bring us back in a relationship with God. That's the most important relationship. What I would say is I'm in agreement that if for those that are married, because again, if you're a single person, that this changes as well, or a widowed person, or whatever the case may be. But for a married person, the marriage is the second most important relationship behind that, because Jesus himself even echoes Genesis 1 and 2, where he says, and for this reason a man shall leave his mother and father and go to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You can't become, well, I'll love to hear what they think, but you can't become one flesh with your career. I guess it becomes an idol if you do that, or become even one flesh with your kids, as wonderful as they are. The marriage relationship, to me, would be the second most important. Of course, children and grandchildren, and then job. Again, that's where I would align myself. I think it's very easy for us in the United States of America to make career an idol. And for many people, our families suffer because we say God is our God, but actually it's our career. And because we need that in addition to God. So that's where I'd put the order. I'd let these counselors here kind of ask some follow-up questions, but that's where I would come at it.
Sure.
So, and Zach, so you and Scott are in agreement, and I think that is, let's say, in a non-fallen world, that is the order of things, right? And so that's the goal, that's the guideline that we shoot for. Now, the problem is we do live in a fallen, broken world. And so how it plays out practically is another thing. Scott, when you marry someone that's been married before and there are kids, the kids have now come before you, right? And so they were around long before you, okay? You also have the brokenness of her first marriage not working out. Right? So there may be some, even though you guys fell in love, you got married, this is a good thing, she may have some trust issues and may be not wanting to put, in a sense, all her eggs in one basket with you because of what didn't work out before. Mm-hmm. It's just a hypothesis, right? And then there's also someone who is divorced has guilt over their kids. Home being broken up. And so I think there's a lot of reasons that creep in that may cause that order of things to be disordered. And even I don't quite understand her putting the work before you, other than if she felt like she had to fend for herself, then she doesn't want to be dependent on anyone. She wants to be able to take care of herself. And so then, unfortunately, you end up feeling at the bottom. So I'm not saying her perspective is correct. I'm just saying it's understandable, given maybe what she's gone through, and those things need to be worked through.
Yeah. Chris, anything
you'd
add?
It's funny you mentioned
Go ahead, Scott.
When we first, when we were dating and you know, contemplating marriage, one thing we did do, and I recommend this to all couples that are thinking marriage, you talk about anything and everything. You have to get everything out in the open. You have to know that person. And my wife told me from that point that her kids, and this is before we got married, that her kids were going to be pretty much the second most important thing in their lives, even including in the marriage. And I was like, well, and I knew that going in, and I still do, and my wife's trying to be, how can I say this? I don't want to skew it all towards me, but my wife is trying to put the marriage in a higher priority.
Let me jump in. Okay, so first off, you made the top four. Congratulations. Great job on that. I love it.
You're on the podium, Scott.
And you're only two spots away from where you put her. So that's, you know, you guys are really close, all right? So it shows
it in perspective.
That marriage is in there. But here, I'm going to blow the whole thing up.
Okay.
I hate these priority lists. Right?
Okay.
Mike Tyson had this famous term, everyone has a plan till they're hit in the face. Okay?
Okay.
So we talked about this maybe in a previous show, but the idea of the ideal.
Yep.
right? This is an ideal list. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you, not because you're a bad or an ungodly person, but because you're a human being like me. You have these things listed as priorities, but how they show up in priorities on your daily basis does not reflect this list. Mm-hmm. And that says nothing right. about your character, okay? I believe
Or her character.
She was just honest about it.
Yeah, right. She was just upfront, yes. So, because I would love to say that God is my first and foremost priority every single day, and yet the dogfight right. to keep it there that I lose on a constant basis, thank God for His grace, right? In the midst of this, what I want us to get back down to is the heart of the heart. And I believe marriage is a reflection of God's image in us in two very particular ways. Great connecting and great creating. And so, rather than a priority list, I want you to pay attention to the quality of connection that you have with your wife and the quality of connection she has with you, and how over the life of our lives together, do we keep building that? Do we keep attending to the things that are in the way, the things that trip us up, the things that make us make it hard for each other to relate? So as we get into a good marital process, that could be marital therapy. Couldn't, you know, suggest enough, even though I don't think we have one coming up until February, but our intimacy and marriage workshop. So we do need to invest in it well. But rather than compete over a priority list, I want you to pay attention to the quality of connection. And do you guys have a common vision for your life?
I think that's really good advice, Chris, because you will not win by kind of pointing out she's doing it wrong and she needs to get her priorities mm-hmm. in alignment,
yeah.
right? I mean, we do know it is good for kids and even adult kids to see a family unit, like to see a parental unit, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, it's different when there has been a remarriage. It's not the way it was supposed to be.
Because in that, we have to take the variables of our real life.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. What is our financial situation? What is our history?
Right.
What is our hurts? What are all of these countless variables that come into play that show up in marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do we work through that together?
Right. So I like focusing on the quality of connection versus where am I in the lineup of her priorities?
Yes. Yeah.
Right? You work at being the best husband possible, supporting her. And you don't need to compete with her kids. They're in a different category than you.
Yeah.
Right? And they could even be side by side.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but support her in that and connect with her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't even care about the list.
Yes.
Right? It'll take care of itself.
You said it much better than I did, Jill. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, what's a resource that we can send to Scott? Because it's, I mean, again, we want their marriage to thrive, especially now that it's his wife's second marriage. There are previous children. Like, what's a kind of a unique resource we could get to them to keep them
in the right direction? I think there's two resources, right? Mm-hmm. There's How We Love, mm-hmm. and then do we still have the Terry Real? Not Terry Real.
The blended family. Step families.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I was thinking of what about Steve's, this is an older book, The God of Second Chances.
That would be really good.
We'll see. We'll check on those for
you,
Scott.
We will send you some sort of combination of those that we have in the New Life Library. Because, again, I actually like the fact that all three of us kind of had some unique perspectives on this. Hopefully mm-hmm. it brought a more well-rounded approach to it, because again, marriage takes work, for goodness sake. Like mm-hmm. you're going to have to figure out a way to, where is the disconnect, why am I asking myself where am I at in the pecking order, and why is she volunteering that information right off the bat mm-hmm. too, and kind of putting you on your heels a bit and going, oh, well, I'm starting from a silver medal position already, you know, like, or what kind of the analogy that Chris said about being on the podium, you know, where you're at in top four. But in all seriousness, like, that can sometimes put us at a bit of a, oh, wow, like, am I getting to this for the right reasons, or what's going on here? What are the other things that are happening contextually, Jill, to what your point was mm-hmm. of previous history? So that's what really adds a lot of complicated layers, you know, to these things. And so hopefully that's helpful to you. Scott, we'll send those resources your way. And once again, even as I just heard Scott share that, I mean, all the choices that were on there, like, all of us have some form, some group of things. Like, these are the things that are most important to me. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we are going to make time for what is most important to us.
Absolutely.
And so make sure that you're prioritizing the right things. And in our relationships, that's not just one-to-one. It's going to affect other people. So it is going to affect your kids, and it's going to affect your career and vice versa. So we can't think to ourselves, these things are, you know, compartmentalized.
And let me different. Jump in really quickly. That book I was referring to is The Smart Step Family by Ron Deal.
Ah, there you go.
The Smart Step Family. So I don't know awesome. If we have it, but if we don't, get it.
Okay, awesome. We'll be right back after this break. Again, thanks again for joining us for New Life Live.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today. Zach Matchett here. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams are with me. One of the things that we talk about here at New Life often is this idea of living with sexual integrity. And I just want to make a mention real quick about our Everyman's Battle workshop. It's held monthly. You can go to newlife.com to get some upcoming workshop dates and locations. And sexual integrity, again, it's a life that is not going to be encouraged by the culture in very many places. And so as people of faith and understanding that if we're going to be in a relationship and committed, we cannot allow a lack of integrity sexually to infiltrate a marriage, because it brings so much pain and so much hurt. And yet, even if you've walked through that pain and that hurt, you are not beyond repair and not beyond recovery. And so New Life offers this workshop frequently because we know there are many men out there that need to get back on their feet again, even after feeling like a failure. And just know, you may have felt like you feel like you've fallen all the way down to the bottom of the mountain, but trust me, you can get right back up, and we can help you get back climbing again, working on your sexual integrity and finding recovery. And so please just take advantage of that resource. Again, newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE to get more information about that upcoming workshop and the dates and locations. So I want to make sure I mentioned that. Let's go ahead and get to our next call. Eileen has been patiently waiting. Thank you, Eileen. She's listening to us on Sirius XM, so we're going to bring her on. Eileen, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Yeah, hi. I've been struggling for over 10 years with estrangement from my son, my adult son. He's 32. And I talk to God every morning. I've been doing that. I've only really started getting into God after I had this problem with him just slipping away from me. And so I tell God, I declare to him that I do trust him and I don't want to doubt him. And that's what brought me to the program when you were talking about doubting.
Wow.
And I just don't know what to do. I mean, he'll take my texts. He doesn't take my calls. But his return texts are just like one or two words, never like, how are you, or anything like that. I've just been struggling for a long time. And his father, who I've been divorced from since 2001, so he was young when we got divorced at 11, he had cut off his parents. And my son never did. My son struggled with his father, and he has actually cut him off completely. At least my son takes my texts, but he hasn't talked to his father in years and years. Mm-hmm. And he won't even accept my Christmas gift, which is usually money now, because, you know, he's older and he's got a small apartment. And he just, when I've asked him about it, he just says that he doesn't want my money. And I'm very worried about him being so unforgiving and being in this situation, you know, seeing that situation with his parents. I just can't believe that it's happening.
Yeah, so you know? Eileen, thank you for calling. I'm so sorry that you're walking through this. This is a very painful thing, I know, for you. And I want to get you pushed in the right direction here. So Chris and Jill, I mean, the 10 years, that is a long time. I mean, from the age 22 to 32, I think you said he was 32. I mean, that's most of his adult life. what would you say as far as a next step? I mean, for me, I would just real quickly say, Eileen, to encourage you to find some sort of a counselor or some sort of recovery group just to talk about the loss and to process through the pain of some of those things. And so that's one quick hitter that I can give you to encourage you in the right direction. But Jill, what would you add?
Well, Eileen, I'm wondering, this is a lot of the divorce and all of that and how it impacted your son, but was there anything else that maybe happened around age 22 when he felt the need to cut off more from you?
Well, it actually did start happening. I mean, he was a teenager, you know, after we got divorced, teenagers are difficult. I mean, actually, on his graduation day, he took a different car than I took to go to his graduation. I never even talked to him at the graduation. So it just started getting, I guess in 2015, then, when it got really pretty bad, was my mother died, and he was going to go with me over to fly over across the country to go to her service. And he started yelling at me on the phone, and I just said to him, I wasn't thinking, and I should have been thinking, but I just said, don't start talking to me the way your father used to talk to me. And that really set it off big time.
Yeah.
That, you know, less and less call. Well,
So he's telling you, the first thing you need to do, because you mentioned that his father also cut his parents off, you need to completely divorce your son's life from your ex-husband's life. Does that make sense?
Right.
Because he has so much hurt and bitterness towards his dad. If he's associated with his dad at all, it's game over. Like, he's not going to go there. And so, so I think that in attempts to repair, which could be a long road, you start with how you have hurt him or opening up to allowing him to express how he's hurt you. Now, in the expression of those hurts, it doesn't mean that he's always right or accurate, but he absolutely needs to be heard with respect.
Yeah.
So he won't talk to me.
Yeah.
About that. He won't go there. When I try to bring it up one time, he said he was going to leave and not stay for dinner. And he was just so upset that I went to him and try to talk to him about it. He does not want to talk about it.
Yeah. There's a great deal of pain there, and there's a lot of history. And so, Eileen, stay on the line. We're going to go to our break here in just a second. We'll come back and we'll wrap this up. We'd love to get you a resource as well, so we'll talk about that when we get back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
So glad you're with us today here on New Life Live. Zach Matchett here. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams are with me. We have Eileen on the line. Eileen has been estranged from her son, adult son, who's 32, for 10 years, but has mentioned that there's she's previously divorced. There's been actually longer than 10 years. Mm-hmm. She mentioned a situation at graduation where even there was some conflict. And so it's going on the better part of 15 years or more. And Jill, you made a comment off air that I wanted to have you share just about this idea of maybe addressing how to try to get in touch with Eileen's son.
Right. Eileen, first of all, I am sad for you. I think one of the worst things for a mother is to be estranged from a child. We never stop being a mother or wanting relationship with our kids. And so I, you know, my heart goes out to you. I'm glad there's at least some contact between you two, that he will take a text. It does sound like he really has gone into an avoidance mode where all of the problems in the family were way too much from him, and he chose to deal with it by cutting it off, which means if he's not working through it, he's not developing a capacity to tolerate difficult things. And so literally when you talk to him, you may hit up against his emotional limitations. Sometimes when people can't take a direct interaction, we have to find other ways. And so I was suggesting that we go back to the old-fashioned way of letter writing. And if you were to work on a handwritten letter, kind of expressing your own insight about how perhaps you hurt him and apologizing for that and your desire to have connection with him in whatever form he's willing to do, right? Yeah. But that you want to hear from him and you want to hear his hurt. And if you write a letter and then get someone that you trust and read that letter to him, right? Or to that person, whoever it is. Read it to that person, get some feedback, rewrite the letter. You know, it's always good. We start out, we just do a rough draft, but then we over it. And before we send it, we've gotten kind of some advice on it.
Yeah.
And it's also a good therapeutic process for you to be able to really think through this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we think, too, just by putting that in writing, it just, as Jill said, therapeutic. It allows you to process that pain. Mm-hmm. But if you run it through some checks and balances through some other trusted friends or family members to say, hey, is this coming across as too harsh or too accusatory or too this or just to have another set of eyes on it. And it may feel kind of funny to proofread a letter to your son, but at the very least, what you're admitting is like there's a lot of pain here. There's a lot of context, a lot of hurt. I don't want that to come through. What I want to communicate is how much I miss you, how much I love you, and mm-hmm. how much we want to make this relationship right.
Right, and that also helps you to make it a little more concise. You don't want to send him a 10-page novel, right?
Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Eileen, we want to send you a copy, too, of How We Love Our Kids. We just think that would be a great resource for you because, again, that even extends mm-hmm. in some ways to their adult life and what role that may shift for you as a parent for your adult child. And so we hope that is a blessing to you. And, again, challenging situations. I'm just trying to think through, like, as someone who's raising young kids now.
You know what? We might also – sorry, Zach. We might also –
No, go ahead, Jill.
Can I suggest another book?
Yeah,
Doing
yeah.
Life with Your Adult Kids, Jim Burns' book.
Oh, yeah,
might
yeah.
also be a
yeah.
good one.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. No, that's good. You have a better idea of the library, too, so that's super helpful to me. But I was just going to say, like, as someone who's raising young kids, you do your absolute best to be the best parents that you can be, but eventually every kid's going to become an adult, and they're going to live their own life, and that losing of that, and then for them to be estranged, the pain of that is really, really challenging. So I just don't want us to skip over with all of these, like, just do this, and miss maybe the pain of what Eileen is going through. And so, Eileen, thanks so much for calling today. We really appreciate your courage and sharing about your life personally. Larry Sonnenberg is with us. I'm going to go hand it over to him and see what he has to share with us today.
Well, Zach, I give a lot of testimonies. I read them on the radio a lot, and mostly about workshops, but I love reading these that are about radio. We have a lot of people that tell us how much radio means to them. And I want to encourage you as listeners, if you have a testimony about anything New Life has done that has helped you get your life back together in some way, please email it to us or write us the old-fashioned way, as we were saying earlier. We love getting those. But I've got two here. I only have time for one. I want to read the shorter one. This lady writes and says, I've been listening to your program for more years than I can even remember. What you all do on a daily basis is nothing short of amazing and truly a gift from God. Your words of wisdom have pulled me through many questionable moments in my life, and somehow the advice that you've given to other people over the years has spoken directly to many of the challenges I faced. Definitely not a coincidence. I believe God's hand has been all over it. You've kept me focused in between counseling appointments and have lined up with everything my Christian counselor has taught me over the years. Thank you for being truly someone I can count on for sound biblical advice and helping me realize there is hope and healing. And then she gave us a nice little gift and said thank you. But, you know, I introduced some folks to some of our donors a few weeks ago. And after it was over and we spoke with six or seven donors, they wanted to hear their stories. It was interesting because the common theme in each of the donors' stories was radio. It wasn't that I went to a workshop and got this wonderful healing. There are some that did go to workshops, but it all started with radio. And folks, I just want to ask you to support us in that.
Yeah.
We could use your gift of support to help keep doing what we do. This radio program ministers to people far beyond what we can think or imagine, and your gift will make it continue and help us to keep it going. So thank you for considering that.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry. And you're right. I think we, you know, it's very accessible, whether you're on the road or you're doing your normal thing or you're tuning online. And just know that. And two, if you find this program helpful, share it with a friend. You hear a topic that sparks something that you know that you're walking through or somebody else is going through, please share wherever you listen to on the radio or if you've got the New Life app or online on YouTube. Again, share that stuff because we know there are a lot of people that are hurting that would benefit from hearing from New Life and all the things we've got going on here. So thanks, Larry. I want to get to our next call here. Chrissy has been waiting very patiently, and so I'm going to ask her to come on now. She's listening to us in Maryland. And so, Chrissy, welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
My husband and I have been married 37 years. I found out 5.5 years ago by catching him that he has been addicted to porn since he was 10 years old. For those 5.5 years, he's been going to counseling, support groups, and even meeting with other SA people to kind of help him. But and my only demand was that he be honest with me, and then we could work on the addiction together. Mm-hmm. Well, for 5.5 years, I would catch him. That was the only reason why I knew he was still acting out and all. This last time, he knew it was his last chance. I caught him trying to look up porn on a smart TV while at an SA meeting. Mm-hmm. So I kicked him out, and we've been separated for 3.5 months, but he still insists that he loves me and wants to stay married, but cannot come up with a reason why. And how do I handle that?
Well, thank you for sharing that. That is really sad. I'm sorry that you're having to kind of be hurt multiple times from this same addiction. Jill and Chris, what would you say to, again, this is Chrissy here is kind of on the receiving end of an addiction that's not going away. At best, it's laying dormant and then it rears its head again. Chris, you want to jump in on this first?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you need separation from from the pain of the addiction, which includes the hiding and deceit. And a lot of times that's even primary because it's hard to tell what's up and down, backwards and forwards when you're living in such chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And so, and maybe not in your whole life, but at least in your marriage.
Well, deception.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody
is
hiding in your midst.
Yes. And so it's not about him wanting to be with you or not. Mm-hmm. It's about you needing the separation to heal and to find health, which may or may not include the marriage going forward, which could be terrifying for him. But a lot of times when people are struggling with porn and it's that habitual cycle, you can't come up with a specific reason why he wants to be with you. I know the reason. He's terrified of being alone.
Yeah.
And you're just
That's
kind
what
of,
I keep saying.
And you're there to anesthetize that feeling. I would say you're in the way of his next level of recovery. You need to get out of the way of his recovery. He needs to build a relationship with himself without resorting to the destruction of sexual acting out and pornography.
Yeah, good wisdom.
And I would highly recommend that he go to the Everyman's Battle workshop and that you go to the Restored workshop.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can go to newlife.com and find out the locations and dates for those. But stay on the line, Chrissy. I want to give Jill a chance to respond to this as well. And so we'll be right back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us here on New Life Live. Zach Matchett with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams. We have Chrissy on the line. Chrissy was sharing that her husband has been dealing with a porn addiction for a long time, over 3 decades. Jill, I want to jump in,
Zach, because Chrissy, I don't want to gloss over that you've been married 37 years, and I'm thinking this is probably longer than not being married. And so, right? So that's a big, it's a lifetime. It's not just something you walk away from. And so we were talking a little bit at the break. So his addiction impacts you greatly, obviously, but it started, as you said, since he was 10. His addiction is separate from you and separate from the marriage. Okay, so he might not be able to put into words, but how do you put into words 37 years,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So, of course, he doesn't want to lose that. But as Chris was saying, and Chris, we were trying to articulate this, that there is a dance that happens in relationship. So in no way are you responsible for his porn use, but everything in his life is keeping this addiction going.
Keeping it alive
because it's his dance. It's his routine. And it's what he knows to do. And so you doing the separation is not to necessarily leave him. It's to change the dance.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not participating in this dance any longer.
Right. Yeah. Like, you're going to have to figure out new dance steps because this dance is no longer working for me. And we need a new way of relating. And so that's the getting out of the way. And you doing some work for yourself in helping you move through this and requiring more of him. Because while he's done some good things, it's not been enough, right?
Yeah.
And he's not been 100% honest, perhaps, in it.
Yep. And that, Chrissy, I would just, 2 quick things here. I would encourage you to go to newlife.com and look into maybe a recovery group, support group for you. Jill's right in just finding your own healing. And then we want to send you a book,
Restore.
Healing is a Choice. Yeah, Restore Workshop. Then we'll send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, too. And just as you walk through this process with him, and I'm going to pray that God does restore your marriage.
And what about worthy of her trust?
Yeah.
What do you think of that? In terms, I think it's a good guideline for him to know what it requires.
Yeah, I think worthy of his trust would be great. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and get to our final call here. This is Lonnie. He is calling in from Colorado, and so we're going to get to him as we wrap up our program today. So, hi, Lonnie. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Well, it was kind of interesting listening to all the callers before me because there's a lot of stuff that they said that actually hits in my marriage. The question I have is how to restore my marriage, because I was married once before for 14 years, and then I ended up, my wife wanted a divorce, and we have a son together where my son lives with us. He's 26 years old, and then my wife that I'm married to now, she had 3 kids, 2 that were adopted and 1 biological, which my son and her son are really good friends because they're the same age, and they're both 26. They both live still at home, but they both work full-time.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife, we run a ministry in our town. We have for 5 years, and it's been a big success for our town, getting people off the street. But now it's, my wife told me a few months ago that she wanted a separation from her marriage because I haven't been a dad or a husband to her or her kids. So I'm just trying to figure out how I get back.
Yeah.
To,
Lonnie, Thanks for calling. I know that's this has got to be hard. When you say her kids, you mean from the previous marriage, Lonnie?
She was never married.
Okay.
It was her. She adopted two girls.
Oh, that's right.
And her son was out of wedlock.
Okay. So,
she was never married.
So, Lonnie, quick question, because we're going to run out of time here really quickly. What did she give you anything specific of what your shortcomings are as a dad and a husband?
Discipline and not showing I care enough for her.
Okay.
I've stayed in the house. She's actually wanted me to get out for the last 2 months. She brings it up about every Monday. She goes, "Are you leaving?" Well, no, I told her I wasn't, and I gave her the reason this week is that I was holding on to a chance that we could work it out.
So have you guys gotten any help for this? Any marital counseling? Any workshops? What have you guys done to address the issue?
She won't go to it. I tried, but I don't know. I get a little nervous because she actually calls. She gets upset if I didn't go to counseling or something, and I've asked her to go, and she refuses.
So, Lonnie, I can hear the pain in your voice. I think this is one of those times, though, where you have to step up and do some things that are right and helpful. I think you do need to get into some counseling for yourself because you need some help. And it sounds like you're fearful in this situation and your wife is calling the shots because she's, you know, dropped this bomb on you of wanting a separation. And so obviously that makes you vulnerable and, you know, sad and all the feelings that go with that. But I think fighting for your marriage is important. Respecting, in a sense, what she's saying to you, and then working to understand it and work through some of the issues. So getting you can't do this alone.
Yeah.
It's just going to unravel here if you don't
get some help. And maybe getting clarity, Lonnie, maybe getting clarity on when she's saying discipline. I mean, you shared that answer, discipline, and not showing love to her. Maybe even getting more specific. And I would also say, too, and I as someone who is doing vocational ministry full-time, and I've seen this happen, and this is really tragic, and hopefully it's not happening in this situation. Maybe it's something other cause. But sometimes so much of our focus goes into the ministry and helping other people, and then what often gets neglected is our own marriage and our own household and our own kids. I'm not saying that's what's happening to you, but it may be worth doing some inventory spiritually and emotionally to see, well, maybe this has been one of the primary wedges or even something that's been an escape, you know, to kind of get away from the pain in that way. Because for me, if I'm coming home to chaos and dysfunction and the people who I love, who are supposed to love me, I don't feel that and I feel there's chaos, but then I go into a ministry setting and I'm helping people get off the streets and I'm doing life change, it's
feels
like, well,
good.
All the more reason to not come home a little, you know, as early or just stay there longer and put more of my energy there because we feel more needed there. So, again, I don't want to project that, Lonnie, so that's just me
I'm hearing that your wife needs you to be stronger and more connected.
Yes, but I had an anger issue before, and I'm curving that by God's grace that He's.
Yeah,
he
strength
blessed,
does not
blessed
mean
me.
Anger.
Yeah.
Well, Lonnie, thanks for calling. I know that's a challenge. I mean, to put your stuff out there, and I pray that God will heal your marriage. I want to encourage you, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE because there's counselors in all over the country, and we can find one in your area for you and your wife to start working on your marriage. Thanks again for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.